it's Canzano. Thanks for making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe and leave us some feedback. Also, the podcast is brought to you by Multnomah Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough, non-invasive, drug-free solutions to ED problems. Call Multnomah Medical Clinic at 503-899-4199 or visit them online at multnomahmedical.com.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast,
a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
What is Portland State, what is the Big Sky Conference going to do? You see the Pac-12 this week, they got a big decision to make. Big Sky Conference officials have come out and said, look, they've got the NCAA on board, and they also have time. They are not trying to play in 2 weeks or a month or even 6 weeks. Tom Wistersill, the commissioner of the Big Sky Conference, said we're talking about a few months from now, 5 months from now. Valerie Cleary is the athletic director at Portland State. What are you getting from the conference office when it comes to timeline?
Yeah, I mean, just like what you were saying, you know, I think time actually is working in our favor. And even just hearing you go through those sequences of weeks versus months was causing me to get a little anxious. Where I am happy that, you know, we have landed as a decision as a conference that we're aiming for the spring for our football season. So that gives us a little bit more time, helps us out here in the great state of Oregon with all of our guidelines, but hopefully gives us a little bit more time to kind of get our ducks in a row so we're ready to go fully in the spring.
Let's talk about those ducks. What are those things that, you know, if I could say, hey, Valerie, what do you need solved in the next 4 or 5 months? What are those things that are most important?
Well, if you're asking me today, versus yeah. 2 days from now, because it's going to change, today our biggest deciding factor for us right now sitting at Portland State is testing. And this is what we've been hearing, you know, across the nation is the importance of testing. And what is that going to look like? You know, for so long we've been, you know, gearing up with PCR testing and following the NCAA guidelines about, you know, testing our contact sports once a week. It's looking like as we go into basketball season, that actually might change to 3 times a week. And I think with what we're following with the Pac-12 here in Oregon is that could possibly even set the precedence of daily testing. So we're tracking it closely. But as of today, you know, we're really focusing on what our testing methodologies are. And each day, what we see is saliva testing. Is it antigen testing? Is it PCR testing? But just making sure we're tracking on that so we could keep our staff and student athletes as safe as we possibly can. That's what we're aiming for right now.
Is it an expense thing when it comes down to daily testing? Because I have no concept. I haven't tested. I haven't had to buy a test. What are we talking about when, you know, we say, all right, a single test costs, is it $20? Is it $50? What's the range that you've seen in this time?
Yeah, it's about there. I think the lowest we've heard and hearing it versus actually seeing it on a contract right. And, you know, being able to do it, it's two different things. But the lowest we've seen is probably about $10 a test, and that's for something like a rapid antigen test or even a rapid saliva test. Upwards to where we're sitting right now for us for our PCR test is right about $53 per test. At the beginning, we didn't know how things like the CARES Act were going to come into play, student-athlete or staff insurance, what they would be covering. It looks like for the most part we could probably get that first test covered by their insurance companies. But being that all of this is asymptomatic testing for the most part, the bill's going to go back to the athletic departments.
That expense, I think it becomes prohibitive for a lot of the not major Power 5 conference universities. I think it's not just you guys, but I look across the landscape. You know, where do you find that money? Are the campuses, are the conferences, is it like you got some challenges there?
Right. No, and we very much do. I mean, Scott from UP and I were on the phone this morning kind of strategizing because we're in a similar situation with getting basketball season up and going. Difference for us is obviously we have football. So when you're looking at those high contact sports and the number of student athletes that will need that weekly, if not more, testing, your numbers shift. And it does become a campus-wide discussion. And as you well know, especially as mid-majors or FCS programs took significant budget hits in the fall with not being able to play our guarantee games or our money games. This past Saturday, we should actually be on the radio right now, John, talking about how the Portland State Vikings beat the Beavs down the road. That's what we should be talking about today. But today we're talking about COVID testing instead. So, you know, it's just, it is. I mean, for us smaller departments, I mean, there is no doubt that the finances related to these testing is a key component of how we move forward. And luckily, you know, the Portland State Administration, our new president, Steve Percy, he's been fantastic, but it's still a financial decision. And that's what we're actually going through, you know, within the next few days here is just getting our hands on what that potential cost could be at the high end and then knowing that there's some fluctuation depending upon the type of test that we administer.
Valerie Cleary, Portland State's athletic director, is with us. If we could focus on football, you mentioned Oregon State, and yeah, it would be great if we were talking about you playing Oregon State or you beating Arizona earlier in the year. Can you get those games back on the schedule? Have you had talks with the athletic directors at those schools?
Yeah, not yet. Besides our conversations a few months ago about cancellation, I mean, we're all eyeing what's going to happen with the Pac-12 because depending upon how conferences structure their spring schedule with the number of conference games, start dates, et cetera, it may allow for schools to get in one non-conference game potentially. And whether or not we go back and say, hey, well, can we get those games back on the books at Arizona or even just down the road at Oregon State, I think it's still a viable option. But right now we're just trying to figure out who's playing and when. So, I mean, with the Pac-12, you know, if they get up and going for this fall, then that's probably off the options for us. But we could look at exploring other agreements with different schools for a potential non-conference guarantee game.
This might sound crazy, but even if the Pac-12 plays in the fall, is it possible that, you know, Oregon State's spring game is a regular season game for Portland State? Is that on the table or is that crazy?
It doesn't sound crazy. Once we start putting pen to paper, though, you got to figure out how it falls within all of our weird NCAA guidelines about which games are cannibal and so forth. But I don't think at this point anything is ever off the table day to day until someone tells you that it is.
Valerie Cleary is with us. We talk so much about football. At Portland State, you've got basketball that does compete on the same level as the Power Fives. You're competing for the same NCAA championship. How did the recent guidelines from the NCAA affect you guys in basketball? Will you start in November with the others, and what's happening?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what the conversation has been, you know, since just last Wednesday when we got all the information regarding the start dates from the NCAA for basketball. So that's our goal, is we're working on tracking for, you know, that November 25th start date, and just trying to get everything into place for us to be able to start playing on that date. So Coach Perry and Coach Kennedy are working to get their schedules lined up, and my task is getting us lined up to get those kids back on campus and working out and practicing and training. So far, everyone is up. Like you said, you know, that's the one unifying factor across the nation is when you're looking at all the sports except for football, you're playing for the same national championship. So trying to make sure that we stay on par with getting our student-athletes safely practicing is the first priority for us with basketball.
How many players, staff members, trainers are we talking about in sort of the bubble if you're talking about a basketball program?
Yeah, the rough number that we're kind of looking at between our student athletes and our coaches, their strength and conditioning coach, trainers, kind of that inner bubble that the NCAA would say needs to have weekly testing. The number we're going off of is about 50 total. Might be one or two less, but just kind of looking at round numbers, we're looking at 50. Because you're looking at whether it's your managers that have daily contact to the coaches, strength and conditioning, like I said, even sports information, you know, depending upon how much contact Mike Lund's going to be having with these student athletes, he'll be in that inner bubble protocol as well. And then, you know, we really did learn some good lessons from the Timbers and Thorns as they've been able to really get their seasons up and going. You know, they did a great job of walking us through how they tiered everyone and related to their game day protocol, with tier one being their student athletes and so forth, or their athletes, I should say, and their staff that has direct contact. So our inner bubble would probably be about 50 that would need to be doing the weekly testing.
It's so interesting because we're talking about, you know, so focused on football with the Pac-12, but it's a basketball equation, not just for the Pac-12 and also for you guys that, you know, there's a basketball season that's looming there. Do you feel confident that you can keep a basketball program up and running without interruption, without, without the same challenges as football, or is it a different conversation because, the team, it's not 80 to 100 people?
Correct. I actually think, this is something that we've been trying to set kind of what our bar and expectations are in keeping things realistic. Everyone knows there's a high probability of any team across the nation having to start up and shut down, either on a small scale with a couple of players or a couple of staff members, to a large scale of an entire team. And the difference is when you look at basketball, you're dealing with such a small number of your student athletes and your coaches. And once you're going with like full contact practices, your day-to-day meetings, et cetera, your risk is higher of creating exposure across a whole team. And whereas with football, you could see kind of what we've seen the last few weekends where we get, reports that a certain program's playing without 20 to 30 players. You could adjust a little bit more, but with basketball, if you're going down, like the whole team's probably going to go down for a while. And just what is that impact going to be? And trying to formulate how you practice, how you work out in smaller groups as much as you can to mitigate that risk of having the whole team go down until you're able to get into that full contact and actually game competition. So it's tricky to say the least, but, coaches, they're creative and our student athletes want nothing more than to play. So they're willing to kind of take that sacrifice of leaning on the side of caution to hopefully not have that risk of the whole team going down.
Valerie Cleary is with us, Portland State's AD. I'm hosting this radio show from the home studio, and sometimes during the commercial breaks, my little ones will wander in, and they'll say, "Dad, can you help me with this or that?" And if I got a minute, I drop what I'm doing and I go do it. I'm wondering, when it comes to the campus leadership, they've got problems too, right? They're trying to get students back on campus. How available is your university president and the decision makers there to kind of deal with what's going on in the sports world, or is that an added challenge as you try to get back to playing?
I'm very fortunate. I mean, it definitely is, whether you're looking at any group, whether it's figuring out what you're going to do with your residence halls or figuring out what you're going to do with athletics, it's a different lens or challenge that you're having to look through. For us, though, it's great because I sit on our executive committee. I have weekly meetings with our president, and I have such a great relationship with a lot of the other decision-making makers on campus to really keep this conversation about athletics in the forefront. Because really, when you look at the scope of the campus, outside of what we already have going on with residence halls and kind of students living on campus again, the biggest cohort of actually starting in-person activities would likely be in an athletic department. So we're having to pay really close attention to kind of set that bar for what our protocols are going to be so we could have a successful start. Because I think in some ways how we conduct business moving forward is also going to gauge how the campus is starting to, bring classes back into person, have, other student activities going on. I know that this week our rec center is opening, so we're watching what's happening there closely. But I think, as part of a campus community, everyone has a different stake in the game, and we're all trying to support one another because the success of one individual department is really going to dictate how we move forward as a campus.
That's interesting, too. I think sports has been a leader throughout this. Valerie Cleary is with us, athletic director at Portland State. You also have skies like I do in the last couple of weeks that have been filled with smoke, and there's a lot of people in the state that are hurting. They've lost property. Their lives have been lost and resources burned. Do you have any thoughts on what you saw in the sky and kind of the experience? You're in charge of a community there at Portland State. You had to have people that were affected by this.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, it's hard just as a community in general. You have such an interconnectedness amongst different places, and whether it's, our small town of Banks out where I live, a group of folks were hosting Clackamas Community College wrestlers who had to be evacuated, and they were just hanging out in the old Schlegel Hall out there, and, just seeing the community rally together. I think most personally with our athletic department, one of our former student athletes, his family lost everything down in Talent. And that's when it really hits home, where it's someone you know directly who has lost everything. And Nigel was a distance runner for us. He was actually already out in Colorado getting ready to start his master's degree program. And he got the phone call from home that, you know, they had been evacuated. And when they went back, everything was gone. So just that loss across our state has really been impactful for so many people. And then really just the appreciation to see our law enforcement, our first responders, and, of course, our firefighters doing everything they can to contain it and really try to protect people's livelihoods and well-being. So it has been an interesting time, I think, for everyone, but I think definitely here on the West Coast with having that added element of the fires has, I think, really impacted a lot of people in many ways.
I appreciate you, Valerie Cleary. Keep doing what you're doing. Take care of that campus, and thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks for having me, John. Appreciate it.
There's the athletic director at Portland State who opened with some trash talk. I like that. I like that. She said we should have been here talking about the Vikings win over the Beavs if it weren't for coronavirus. Little trash talk. How do you like that? Good. I like when the Vikings are standing up for themselves. Valerie Cleary does a terrific job. She is, without exception, every year one of the 25 most influential people in the state of Oregon when it comes to sports, and does a hell of a job leading a athletic department that has got great basketball with Barrett Peary on the men's side. The women's program as well is a contender or a candidate for the NCAA tournament. And that challenge will come in front of football for the Big Sky Conference that has elected to play in the spring. They're standing with that. They're just saying it's too costly to go with daily rapid results testing. But a lot of eyes on Portland State basketball and Big Sky basketball to see what is going to happen with those basketball seasons. I want you to leave it here. Our Culligan Water Cooler Report is next. I'm healthy. Judah Newby's healthy. Alabama Adrian is healthy. You know who's not healthy? A lot of NFL players. It is the subject of our Culligan Water Cooler Report.
Welcome to the Culligan Water Cooler Report. If we're talking about it, they'll be talking about it. Brought to you by Culligan Water Company.
49ers lost Raheem Mostert to Jimmy Garoppolo. Nick Bosa. A lot of injuries in week two. I was looking at the names of all the injuries, and Saquon Barkley didn't play after a torn ACL. David Montgomery, even the Bears, even got hurt and came back. Dak Prescott got hurt and came back. But the line of injuries that we're seeing, and maybe it's just more evident, we're more tuned into it, but it appears that NFL players... Christian McCaffrey had an ankle sprain. The NFL players need some training camp, need some run-up. And a lot of this is soft tissue stuff. I want you guys to talk about this. How big a story is injuries in the NFL right now?
Yeah, it's probably the biggest story out of the weekend, which is too bad because the games were so exciting. But that tells you how many significant injuries there were, particularly the soft tissue injuries. The Giants-Niners game was just bizarre seeing how many big-time names got hurt. I'm not so sure. I'm not quite there yet with no preseason is the reason for all these injuries, you know, because, I mean, Nick Bosa didn't play in the preseason last year. He right. didn't get hurt. Neither
did Barkley.
Barkley yeah. didn't play in the preseason last year. He didn't get hurt. I mean, I think it's part coincidence, part the fact that there were so many star players, but there might be something to it. And I think it might manifest itself even more in weeks 3, 4, 5. And that's when I think you start to get worried.
I look at like the hamstring injuries, the groin injuries. It's stuff, it's non-contact stuff that I'm looking at because, Achilles tendon, stuff like that. I'm not so much looking at spraining an ACL when somebody hits you because that stuff happens. And Tyrod Taylor's thing was just weird. He ends up suiting up and then going to the hospital with that chest injury. But I like Anthony Barr's shoulder with the Vikings. I don't necessarily think that that is something that's affected by, you know, not having a training camp. Alabama, Adriana, how big a story are the injuries?
I don't know, Judah, like, when you say that it's just a coincidence, like, what else could it be that they didn't have as much time to get ready?
Just the freak nature of injuries, which happens all the time to a lot of players. The star power effect affects the narrative, too, because guys get hurt all the time. But to me, it's the fact that it's the star players as well as football is just really, really demanding. But I think it might be part of it, but maybe not the whole thing.
It just became such a story because you could make a roster out of the players who were injured.
Right.
You could just literally go three starting quarterbacks, top two fantasy picks in most drafts went out. Leading wide receiver from week one goes out. And
we interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.